cliffcentral.com.
Dumelang ba heso. Ena ke nako ya sipping tea. Ho nwa tea le ngwane no a ke mo ratanga holo ba ke tsumi moraki. Monana re a bua. Re bua ntho tsohle. Ha ho monwana o re sa o nyekeng. Ha ho matrasi o re sa o petroleng. Ha ho stupu se re sa se policheng. Ha e ka neng ditaba tsa lenaneo di thulana le maikutlo a hao. Ka nnete ke taba hore o nyolose kgohlo o ye ka mane ka dipuding. O dula o ore letsatsi le tla le o hahle. O lokise monahano. Mo re a bua. Re bua puo pha. Tumi, ha ba shwe.
Okay.
Let them die.
Which is the literal translation.
Which is very
of,
much
of Habashwe.
Please.
Mara, why? Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Let them die. Let the enemies die. Yeah. That's what it's saying. It's saying let your enemies die. You know, let them die of jealous and all those things. How's that? It's Timmy Meraki railing with Mabali Malay. How are you? Oh. We are sipping tea and we are in your ear with our crafty inside. Inside your earlobe, going into your medulla oblongata and all of that. And we're going to have a good time. Right.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Yes, you're welcome.
You have a lot of energy.
I don't. I do that to inject myself full of energy. I'm tired because last night, well, first of all, yesterday was my seventh anniversary. We've been married for 8 years technically. Because we've been married for, I think he paid Lobola in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, so
then why is it only but then, the seventh year?
Seventh year in the church, isn't it? Then he's a Roma. You know the Romas.
Okay.
Yes.
So, because Akirona, we do the church thing and then we do the traditional thing.
Yes, yes.
So,
we did the traditional thing the year before, whereupon I did get pregnant. And I said, no, I'm not having a white wedding looking and feeling like this.
Okay.
We will marry next year. And we got married the following year in 2009 in a church.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
It's an achievement.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
These days.
Yeah, but.
Hey!
I'm
happy. Did you guys do anything special?
Yes. We had breakfast. Whereupon after, we did things that needed to be done for the day. Because, you know. And then we reconvened after my kids' concert. Because my firstborn, they're having a concert at school for the next 3 days.
Yeah, you see, your children are probably the third set of kids that I have either heard about their school concerts or I've been seeing pictures. Because it's that time of the year.
It's that time of the year, yeah.
So all the parents are going out to these concerts.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw my nephew's concert and they were dressed up as sheep, but they were called grumpy sheep. And if you look at the group photo of them, they all literally are so grumpy in that pose. So I thought, you nailed it. It works.
It's appropriate, ne?
Hey.
And then my son, for the first time I got to see it in a child, I got to see post-performance buzz. Because a lot of performers will tell you that when they get off stage, the adrenaline takes some time to leave the system. So they're just buzzing. They're on a high, especially if it went well. Mm. They're buzzing then. So he was on this high, made me go and buy him chicken pops and a drink, and was talking nonstop. Like to the point where I was like, this child,
is this so
the beginnings
sweet.
Of ADD? Hey, speaking of ADD, there was this child, I'm sorry.
Eh.
There, I looked at this child and said, ADD is a bitch. Mm. In fact, that one, I would say it's a high definition one, the HD one.
What was
one.
The child doing?
She wouldn't stop jumping, but she was skipping so much. I was like, somebody make this child stop. And then her friend tries to calm her down, like goes, stop it. This girl literally stopped for a split second, not a full second.
Yeah.
She stopped.
No.
Then reverted again.
Oh,
like she looked like Tigger. It was hilarious.
She
was
around.
Yes, because she wasn't really landing. It was almost as if she was just continuing in Jay. And there's no trampoline there. And I was like, why? Do you realize you're the only child in that entire stage who's jumping?
I'm sure in that moment you kind of looked at her and you looked at your children and you thought, I'm so glad that I'm not your mother because you would be such a handful.
Hey. The challenges that some parents face. And it's funny because sometimes you don't even go, ooh, shame. You literally go, ugh, no, man. I really hope this child is just excited. You know, maybe it wasn't ADD. Maybe that child also had a crazy buzz. Anyway, so I find myself exhausted because then this morning I had to be up early and I was on a Skype call to a dude in Paris.
Oh.
Because, yes, isn't it me? I like things. So we are doing this pilot for this series, you know, and I had to do all these voices.
Oh,
and
that's
I felt,
cool, man.
Yeah, so I was technically in Paris this morning.
Oh, busy, man.
Me bra.
Yeah.
This thing of liking money, my bale, man.
No, but it's fine. Like there's money. Nothing wrong with liking money, and there's nothing wrong with liking things.
Hmm.
And if it keeps you busy and productive, then that's good. Yeah,
but money mustn't make me its bitch. I must stop now. I must start being picky about it.
I always think, Hora, there is such a fine line between knowing, Hora, you are still in control versus now the money being in control of you.
Hmm.
But if you like money, aren't you already the slave to the money? And we all like money. Every single one of us likes money. We'd like to have more of it. If it was handed to us in a briefcase, just like it was handed, or just like it was offered to, can I get mine? Who was offered the 600 million?
In a briefcase.
It was Jonah Siman. He was offered, what was it, 600K or 600 million by the Guptas, and he turned it down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm in such a bad mood today.
Why?
No, and no one particular thing triggered it. It's just because, like, everybody is exhausted.
Yeah.
Mentally, we're fatigued.
Yeah.
I think our bullshit level barometers are possibly at an all-time low, in the sense that, like, everyone's edgy. Everyone is, like, don't test me because I'm going to explode on you any second now. You know, that patience level is running on empty.
It reminds me of that when someone says in Sesotho, you know, some things are just not translatable. Because when you say that, I all I'm hearing you saying is, and what that means, I am going to do my best to translate this, is I don't have, I don't have a chest capacity for shit.
You are full to the brim.
Yeah.
Nothing. You can't take any more on.
Can't take any more cack on.
So I think, Hora, because I'm encountering so many people who are feeling that way, and it's such a heavy feeling, because Wapula, last week you were talking about how we just need a release.
Yes.
And it's such a heavy feeling, and today it's just weighing down on me heavier than normal. So I'm just, like, irritable, and I'm, you know.
Were you going to kill me when I was like, I'm running late?
I would never do that. Aww. I mean, why would I want to rid the world of enjoying?
But you know what? When now your problem is you need to take a break from social media. I actually even tweeted it this weekend. I said that, you know, I think I should take a break from social media because I can't deal with these overloaded bandwagons that everybody's jumping on.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
People jump into conversations completely ignorant, without even finding out what happened. You know, it's that thing of you find a guy being beaten up, you jump in, you start beating up. You don't ask first what happened, but you're like, he's being beaten up, I'm beating up also.
Mm.
And I get irritated. And
you know, last year, for the first time, I got off Twitter for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, around that Christmas, New Year's time.
Yeah.
And I liked it because it does make a difference getting off of these things for a while.
Mm.
So I think that's something that I'm going to implement going forward from now on. Yeah, no, my sabbatical is still coming.
Mm.
It's just that last year I did it around Christmas, New Year time. Mm. I don't know when I'm going to do it now. But yeah, every end of year I think I must just decompress, de-stress.
Yeah, we must all just smoke a national peace pipe. I know this is something we proposed probably at the beginning of the year, you and I.
Yeah, no.
We proposed a national peace pipe, and we need to perhaps remind people about the Suguti, please.
I am all for smoking things that leave us feeling a little bit less
angry.
Agitated.
I've actually run out of edge now, hey? I'm tired.
Well,
I don't think I have any anger left in me. Now I'm just like, okay.
Now if somebody picks a fight with me, I'm just like, okay, sure. Showcase.
Stop. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
And then I'll just, you know, I'll just walk away and I'll let you scream and shout and argue with yourself.
Let it all out. Dad.
No, you must have that argument with yourself, because now I don't have the energy to have it with you. But I hopped onto this thing that we call social media.
Yeah.
And I see who have hashtag moments at May 2016 is already trending. Ne?
Oh, lo, lo.
And somebody said it yesterday, and then you also said it this morning when you came into the studio. You said, but isn't it too early for this thing because it's still November? And now I think it's just a case of, you know, because, you know, we've been complaining about 2016 and how we wanted to just come to an end. So I think people have just hit that fast forward button and they just wanted to end already. So they're like, let's just start with this hashtag.
As my mother would say, what did my mother used to say? Something like that. Like the year that never loved me. Please just bounce.
Please just, you know, just move it along.
Just be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do we want to go through some of these? These so-called moments, or are we not really interested?
No, you can, let's hit. In the meantime, what I'm going to do here is, you know what, there was some time ago that I promised to learn South Africa's love language. So what I'm going to do is, while we're going through that, I'm also going to find South Africa's love language, and I'll tell everybody what South Africa's love language is.
Okay.
So that we can also love ourselves and be kinder to ourselves.
Yeah, no, we must.
Who's the hot blonde girl with the very short tight pants?
Is
that Babes Wodumo?
That's Babes
Wodumo. How bad is my eyesight from here? Okay, I'm going to go replace my glasses.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
No, I'm going to go replace my glasses. No, you know what? I lost my specs, bruh. And then I'm like, yeah, but see, I'm luck coping, eh? And then I'm trying to, you know, and I see it's not working.
Have you walked into things yet?
Why?
Wait, have you run over someone with your car? You still don't know. You still don't know.
I thought it was a speed. I was like, but this speed bump is a little more violent than usual.
This speed bump
and softer
fights
and
back.
Squisher. Yes. And why? Oh, it's musical even.
Anyway, Babes Wodumo is listed as a hashtag moments of 2016.
She's a moment in and of herself.
But I get a wololo was a big thing.
Yeah, no, she's a moment. Also a moment.
No, you are definite. You are definite.
She's very much a moment.
So she's listed there. Then, of course, we can't forget President-elect Donald Trump being elected.
Because
you know, a lot of people did not, I don't know if a lot of people were ready to see that coming. And then when it came, they were like, eh?
I must say, the Trump victory for me was proof that I probably have a calling that has to do with prophecy. Because when he started running and people were laughing, and I said, yo, do you guys remember when Jacob Zuma started running for president in this country?
Mm.
And we're all going, yeah, but no way is he going to end up.
Is that what happened with Jay-Z?
So
in the beginning.
Not
the first term.
When things were going awry, and everyone was going, after all these things have come out.
There's no
way. Because, you know, this is when the dodginess was starting to emerge. There were the Sheikh brothers. There was all of the rape stuff. There was all of the other dodginess that was starting
the
to emerge.
Yeah.
And we were like, I know this guy wouldn't make it past this point.
Oh, and then he made it.
Yeah. No, in fact, Zuma's a bad example. It's how we were like, Julius is a clown.
Oh, yeah, no, that and I remember. That I remember clearly.
And then he starts a party, and then we're like, yeah, this guy really is silly. And then they got seats in parliament, and everybody sat down.
And then all of a sudden, like, the things that he was saying
and then
turned out
started
to be
agreeing
true
with him, and yeah, then he really went, what the hell just happened?
Yes.
Now he's one. I'll be honest, I personally, with the Trump win, I'm like, whatever.
Did you place a bet on your prophecy? Because you should have. I had a fun little bit with a guy friend of mine who sometimes helps me out in necessary ways. It was a friendly bet because, you know, he said, well, it's obvious who Hillary Clinton is going to win. And I said, haha, okay, then for fun's sake, me, I'm going to go with Trump.
Men are men. Now I knew she would never. I was like, I know, hey, men are men. You can be listening now and be offended and be like, Mrak, it's Chalagab. Hey, I knew there was no way the men were going to let a woman run. Hey, don't even ask me. Isn't it? I'm not discussing. I'm telling you, Trump.
I love that, isn't it?
Yeah, please.
That thing, Saudi Mutsuning, is listed as a moment of 2016. More specifically, that thing, yeah, he's got that thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's that picture of him with his face and his those scary eyes of his. That man has scary eyes.
And the lips.
And the lips are pursed and the fingers are, you know, he's got, he's pulling his fingers towards his face.
Yeah.
So he's listed as a moment of 2016. Then there was a time when Euphonic decided,
Kaufela.
Nonke.
For me, that was powerful. That was the most powerful flipping of the bird.
Why?
Ever. Because I was like, this guy has just, you know, the it happens. There comes that point where you're enough. Where social media won't shut up, where people won't leave you alone.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, you know what? All of you involved in this. Mm. You know what I call it? I call it this Tupac moment. Remember that song where Pac is going off at everyone? Fuck Biggie. Fuck
Mob D. Fuck Mob D.
And then he's like fucking, he's yelling at everybody. Like, even the parking attendant at the offices there is like, he knows he's involved. And he's like, how? Even me. Like, blood was splattering on everyone. So that's what killed me about that. His Tupac moment. And the blood splattered on everybody.
And then, you know what? I'm okay with breakdowns. I'm okay because I view them as a, you know, it's a cathartic experience. Yes. Where you get to release some of that pent up, that built up energy. You can just, you know, you can let go and you can let it out and then you feel better. And I think we should be allowed at least one breakdown on social media. All of us. We should be allowed a specified number of moments on Twitter where we can just let it rip and we can take on the world and we can get it all off our chest. And everybody else must just understand, okay, no, give it one moment. Yeah, it's fine. I think that's what Euphonic did with Nonke.
I must say, it was a very well used. He used this very well. You know, it's like that guy who pulls the race card, but it's aptly pulled. Like, I can't argue with this. Aptly pulled. Like, he pulled the race card. Perfect. Like, where you can't fault it. You're like, I'm sorry, but this is the best use of a race card I've ever seen. Mm. That's what he did. Coincidentally, I was thinking about it this week on Madim. If I was to ever have a social media or Twitter meltdown, what would it be? You know, because there are things that irritate me, and what I do is I put my phone away. And then I just vent at whoever's with me in that moment.
I get a winner because you are in the spotlight. There's probably the pressure that you need to be seen to be more responsible, and you can't just have a moment in jail.
No, for me, it's not even about that. It's about the cleanup afterwards. Because I have a lot of family and a lot of people I respect who are with me on social media. So everything I say, I will always assume that it's being seen by my father-in-law, by my aunt, by, you know, people I work with. So that's the thing for me. Beyond responsibility, it's just, I try to be as honest as possible and I try not to censor myself. But then there are those times where, you know, you need to first get some perspective before you blow your top. Because I've blown my top online before.
Mm.
But there's a line. There's a difference between a meltdown and blowing your top. Because if Euphonic made it there, did Stone make it there? Because even he had that thing of "Give me number one for tag," and he was cacking.
I didn't even see
his baby auntie out because she was just not leaving him alone. Like, she was just she was basically saying shit about him. I think either in the media or on social media, I don't know. Anyway, because I know he also had a mini meltdown, which shocked me because I'm like, the coolest guy on TV, the coolest guy in music, just lost it.
Yeah.
That caught me completely off guard.
Do you remember the picture of, I think his name is Jake, I stand to be corrected, the little boy. There's a picture of a little boy who's writing in his book, and he's pulled, like, he's pulling this, he's just such the cutest, sweetest little boy. And then his picture just went viral because it started being incorporated in all kinds of memes. I think his name is Jake. Anyway, and I can't even remember what part of the continent he's from. Oh, okay. Then,
did he make money from it?
There was a journalist, I think, I don't know if he's from the UK or if he's from the US, who took it upon himself to try and track down little Jake. And he tracked him down in his home village. And I think that they were working on an initiative, or they did work on an initiative that helped raise money for Jake. So I think he got something out of it.
That's awesome, man. As long as the child will eat afterwards. Because me, I don't like these things where you post this and then now you are the one benefiting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's usually how things unfortunately tend to work.
You see now.
And then there was the moment when Paul Tusi is on Quantico, ne?
Yes.
Which is currently still on, as far as I understand. Yes. So, yeah, that's listed as a nice moment for 2016.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Ah, and then who can forget the slap? The DJ Coffee slap episode or debacle.
The flying cap.
The flying cap when he slapped AKA's manager. I mean, come on. That was. Yes.
That slap.
I think that, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, it's vile, it's violence, but it's funny. It was funny in the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially because usually, you know, we view Black Coffee as this composed guy who's always put together and he's always in control of himself.
Yes.
And, you know, he seems like a likable guy and you know who he's, you know, he's not about the BS. And but Wabona Yena, he reached his moment in that particular instance.
Yes. And he still remained amazing. Because, you know, you do things like that and people go, I'm so disappointed in you. And everyone was just going, we don't care what happened. It's you, Black Coffee. You understand when I ain't
care. Enough.
We don't care. Yeah. Bella, they must stop.
And we are like that. You know, if you like somebody, then you are more prepared to forgive them for things that you would not forgive somebody that you dislike.
Yes.
That's just human nature. Yes. That's the way we are.
Yes.
So, yeah, look, those are some of the things that are making the hashtag moments that made 2016. Ki December on Thursday, so we are heading into the de-stress month. We're heading into that month where I think we will start letting go of all the angst.
Yes.
And the anxiety. Yes. and
we're going into party mode.
Skirts
are getting shorter.
We're going to start having more sex with each other.
I love how people are working on their bikini bodies in NS now. And I'm like, I'm working on my full body suit body. I'm working on my swimming costume body, full body, as in the one with the shorts. But I'm working on that body. Hey, yeah. I have seen people who are working on bikini bodies. And I'm like, chomam, between me and you, chomam. It's okay. Let's work on the full body. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with working on your bodysuit body. But we also now also preparing ourselves psychologically and in our hearts for our families. Some people know that to be with family also, it needs an adjustment of the mind. Black people are preparing to pay a lot of black tax because this is now your aunt's house needs plastering. You have to pay for someone to wash your mother's curtains if you're not washing them yourself.
And you know, if you are usually like one of those, you know, if you're usually one of those women who don't typically have to worry about cooking every day because OC Haye, you know, she helps you out every now and again.
Mm.
Now you're going home. And the aunts and everybody else. And now you're going to be getting, you know, you're going to be doing that manual labor of preparing the food for Christmas.
Hey, and I'm going to proper manual labor because after Christmas we are slaughtering. That slaughtering I was supposed to do long ago. Finally found time. Now I'm stressing because I'm going. When was the last time I made traditional beer? Now I'm stressing because I'm going. Yo.
We are also slaughtering on the 10th of December.
Hey, hey.
My brother and I, we're going home to Kwakwa for the weekend. Hey. And we are also.
Hey, I'll be in Durban. Me, I would come and eat meat, but I'll be in Durban.
I would also come and eat meat with you.
But it's fine.
But it's okay.
We'll eat meat if you tried.
So listen, I don't know if you found your language of love thing yet, but we can get into
that
after.
I'm doing the survey as we speak, but we'll get into it after the song.
We'll get into it after the song. And, we were talking a little bit earlier about the whole de-stressing thing. And, we mentioned, you know, Kimang, Euphonic having his nonke moment.
Uh-huh.
And this is the song that you made reference to. This is a Tupac Hit 'Em Up. Cause, you know, we have to. Come on.
All of y'all motherfuckers, fuck you, die slow, motherfucker. My fo-fo makes sure all y'all kids
Yeah.
You've got to let it
F
out.
F you too. If you broke a heart, F you too. If you broke his heart, F you too. If you cutting people up on the road, F you too.
Yeah.
If you giving people bad service and still expecting money afterwards, F you too. If you're out here trying to ruin people's lives, F you too. If you're a cyber bully, F you too.
Especially
you cyber bullies, F you too. If you're out there leaving the country talking smack about our country, F you too.
Thank you, Wena Tupac. You see,
yeah, man.
This is what we were talking about, the cathartic experience.
Yeah.
And how you've just got to let it out sometimes.
Yes, man. Yeah, this is my South Africa, this thing. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Hey, South Africa, fuck off. We don't need you here. Go. You think you can do better? Go. Yeah, you need this country. Fire. Yeah, even me now, I'm qualified. I'm going to go. Go! We don't need you. This country is about love here. Yeah. You can't appreciate. F off. It's okay to be honest about what's wrong. But while you're talking about what's wrong, you bear in mind what we get right. And when you talk about what's wrong, you don't just talk about it so you can make noise and just add to the hole in the ozone layer. You speak about it because you are hoping for a solution. You understand me?
Hey.
This is my South Africa, this thing. I don't care how angry, tired, frustrated people are. This is home, this thing. This is home. You remember that and you respect that. Whatever's happening in your house, you don't run next door and go and tell the neighbors.
You don't
do these things.
You don't pack up. You don't move in next door. You know, you try and fix things.
Yeah, and the problems are here, not next door. So yeah, I can, when I'm a bale, even though you fat too much. When I get next door, I don't say, the way my bale fats in the house. Mm, no. No, they don't need to know these things.
Okay, so then let's look at this language of love thing here.
Yes. So.
What is this thing?
There are 5 love languages, right? They are words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, quality time, and receiving gifts. Now, I've spoken about these love languages before on Sipping Tea some time ago, and I promised I would find South Africa's love language. And because what happens is, of these 5 languages, you find that there's 1 or 2 that really matter to you, that are really good for your relationship, and that make it stronger.
Mm.
That, because we don't have the same love languages, and sometimes your partner needs to know that, even though, let's say for you, Mabale, getting things, getting gifts means a lot to you, not to say, oh, yeah, materialistic, but to say
that's how I understand love.
That's your makeup, and that's how you understand love. That maybe as a child, that's how you were conscientized or conditioned into love. So you find that that's yours, but mine is acts of service. And then you are busy buying me all these gifts, but all I actually want you to do is wash the dishes. Because you can be buying me all these gifts, but I resent you because you never wash the dishes. You always leave the towels on the floor. If I say I'm too tired to cook, you still insist that I must cook. Otherwise, you give me the book so I can order takeaway.
So it's really about it's really about people understanding what is your love language and then what is my love language. And then so that we can speak the same.
Yes, because sometimes what happens then is that you will then understand that I do love you. Because, you know, sometimes in a relationship, it ends and you hear one of the partners going, I don't understand why he thought I didn't love him, or I don't understand why she thought I didn't love her.
And I did ABC and you did, for this person, but to that person, while you were doing ABC, they needed EFG to understand
exactly
who they love him. Okay.
So what love languages help you do is to identify what your partner thrives on, and helps you identify what you need from your partner that you didn't know you needed. You didn't know that this is what mattered to you the most. So yeah, it's lovely. My husband and I did this earlier this year, and we actually found it quite useful for our relationship.
So then how does it work? You go through a list of questions?
Yes.
Or what happens here?
There's a questionnaire. You fill in the questionnaire. You know, it asks you questions around your preferences in terms of love relationships. You know, what do you enjoy? Blah. So it's a lot of questions. So you answer these questions, and then after these questions, it'll tell you that based on your answers, this is what you seem to value more. And this is where what you place sort of at the bottom of the list.
Okay.
Yeah. So if we look at South Africa's love languages, and I did a broad-based South African thing, right?
South African,
yeah.
Yes.
And it would seem the 2 most important things to South Africa's top love language is words of affirmation. This makes sense to me right now because it speaks to our psyche. It speaks to our national pride. You know, it speaks to how we see ourselves as South African. So our highest score was words of affirmation. And the second highest one was acts of service. So I'm going to ignore the other 3.
What
I'm
going
to focus. Because physical touch, quality time, receiving gifts. Well,
Yeah,
those are things we can always. Now we are speaking figuratively here. Please try and keep up.
Yeah, we are trying to picture South Africa as the person who is needing the love.
Yes,
and speaking the love language.
Because we are in a relationship. This is a love relationship between us as South Africans and this South Africa we occupy. So, interpreting your profile score, okay? The high score indicates your primary love language. It's not uncommon to have two high scores, although one language does have a slight edge for most people. That just means two languages are important to you, okay?
Okay.
So, we are about words of affirmation. Actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirit skyward. Insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. Does that not sound like South Africa?
Yeah, Wawana, when you talk about words of affirmation, that to me immediately sends bells, like light bulbs going off in my head. Because if there's one thing that we are good at doing as South Africans is bitching and moaning about how terrible this country is. It's our favorite pastime. It's our number one favorite activity to do in the world.
And we need to speak positivity, guys. I mean, even if you are one of those, what you call them, biblical kinds, you will know even the Bible itself says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and he that is loving it will eat its fruitage. Yeah, even me, I know the Bible. You'll be surprised, me. I know things.
Amen.
People are like, oh, this heathen. I know things, me. Yeah. Don't underestimate.
But you know what? It's easy for us to get distracted and to get stuck in the complaining, especially when you look at the news every day.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of focus and attention that gets paid on the bad news.
But what do? We perpetuate it.
Yeah, and we forget about the good news.
But good news. The words, that's the thing, the words. We need to focus on the words. That will then say we get that it's bad. But let's speak some positivity to try and change the energy of the country.
Okay.
So kind, encouraging, and positive words are truly life-giving. And if you think about it, you know, look at America, guys. You know, people like to bitch and moan about how corrupt we are. America is a standing example of successful corruption.
Yeah.
It is as dirty as unwashed underwear of a sportsman who forgot his underwear at the bottom
of
his bag.
A good starting point is to look at how America was built.
Yes.
And you know, it is a country that has existed on the foundation of corruption.
Yes.
As is the case with a lot of countries on this planet. Yes. Okay. Corruption is not a uniquely South African thing.
But what does America do?
America tells
God
itself,
bless
America,
America
every day, look, stands in the mirror and he's like, look at you, America.
Yes, we can.
Looking good, girl.
They're a superpower.
Yeah.
They have sports that happen only in their country, but they're called World Series. Which world? They've decided that they are one country is a world. It's a globe by itself, in and of itself.
Yeah.
Why can't we as South Africans then do that? Hey, let us also affirm ourselves, because you know why? No matter how effed up it is, those people are arrogant and full of themselves and loving them. Hey, if we were to talk about their statuses, where they see themselves from 1 to 10, they are sitting at a super 10.
Mm.
Why? Words of affirmation. You change the mentality of a country, you get things done. Because what are they currently doing? Getting things done. They can put a bozo in presidency,
they
will not collapse as a nation.
They are literally about to make America great again.
Again. And you will all sit there and go, but how? He didn't even change his hairstyle. How? So please, then we go to acts of service.
Okay.
This, again, it makes so much sense that this is a strong love language for South Africa. Because it says, okay, so remember, we are still being figurative here. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? Absolutely. Anything you can do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an act of service person will speak volumes. I must repeat this thing. It is powerful. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an act of service person will speak volumes. The words he or she most wants to hear, let me do that for you. Laziness, broken commitments. Are you listening, government? Broken commitments. And making more work for them will tell speakers of this language their feelings don't matter. Finding ways to serve speaks volumes to the recipient of these acts. Askis Mabale, I think I deafened you there.
You did.
Finding ways to serve speaks volumes to the recipient of these acts. Now, if there's one thing my father-in-law loves reminding us is we are here to serve. And before we start bitching and moaning about what the country is not doing for you, ask yourself, what am I doing for my country? Because if you think about it, guys, our output will influence our input. Our input will influence our output. And acts of service for me, for South Africa as a love language, makes a hell of a lot of sense. There's a lot in terms of we are coming out of a country that used to serve a minority, yet neglect the majority. Now the majority has jumped in on those, on that foundation that was not built to support the majority. And it starts to fall apart at the seams.
Of
what
course.
Do we do? What's our responsibility then at Tumi and Mabale? Simple. We go, what can I do instead of sitting back, folding my arms and saying, but it's government's job. I've seen so many communities where if there's a pothole, the neighborhood is getting together, the neighborhood watch, and they're going, look, guys, can we get together and we'll speak to our ward counselor and we will make a way to find a way to cover up this pothole our way. We can, we want to maybe subcontract someone. You know, when people do that, when people see that there's a school where there are a lot of kids who are hungry and they don't have shoes, and then they go to their local supermarket and they say, well, we are here as a community, we understand government, yes, they are still, there's a backlog.
You know,
there's
fine, government are busy doing their thing and they're not really paying attention to our needs right now. So what can we do?
Yes, can you give us your expired food that expired this week? Because we know it still has a few days in it. Can we take that stuff? Because you can't sell it anymore, but we know it's still safe to consume and use that for the food or food that's about to expire. You know what I mean? Like dry goods. They do stuff like that. And then they'll ask for a donation for shoes from the Dumis of the world who they say, but Dumi, you're doing well now. You're telling us you can't donate us maybe 10,000 rands worth of shoes. That's acts of service. Little things like when you see the traffic lights are out, that instead of shouting and having road rage, that you call those guys and they must come there and they must direct the traffic. Little things like that. When you phone into the radio stations to tell them that there's been an accident on the road or that there's a burst pipe that's wasting water, or to tell them, Vele, that thing again, maybe that the lights are out, that it's crazy. Little things like that, man. Taking your chocolate wrapper and throwing it in the dustbin instead of on the road.
Out of the window.
Or out of the window, you know? Little things like that, Mabali. One Christmas saying to your family, guys, you know we're going to get nice and drunk and full, but you know, I found out there's a home around the corner. Can we take
the leftovers
there, or can we, instead of gifting each other this year, can we all gift the kids there? Let's each agree we're buying X amount of balls, X amount of nappies, X amount of this, and we're taking them there. You know, little things like that. You know, I mean, David Gow, one of the things that impressed me was for his daughter's birthday, they asked that instead of gifting their daughter, because like our daughter has a lot of stuff, can you buy toys for the kids in this home and we're going to take them there on this girl's birthday? And I thought that's adorable. You know what I mean? And it's little acts of service like that that make you so happy to be a South African.
I've been trying to think back while you have been talking about this, about the last act of service that I did for my country, or even for the next person. And I'm ashamed to say that I can't remember the last time I did, which is a problem, because then we also get stuck in this thing of me. Yes. What's in it for me?
Yes.
And what am I going to get out of it?
So you must find that thing. Because for me, it's always, I've promised myself that every year I do a certain amount of charity work. And my big thing is children. If it's for children, not only will I do it for free, I'll do the gig for free. If I have my DVDs, I will sell my DVDs and I'll take that money from the DVDs and donate that on top of that. So it's whatever I would have been paid for that show is being donated. It's whatever money they make from the sales. And whatever I make off my DVDs.
And I think especially, you know, if we look back on this 2016, the way that it started, we all remember how the year started. And, you know, now we're just waiting for it to end swiftly and painlessly and with not too much damage. I think it's important for our psyche to change our our ways of thinking when it comes to South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point in waking up every day and deliberately choosing to be miserable, to bitch about
and to
something,
be hateful.
And to be hateful, to find faults in things when there is an alternative. Because then you're just miserable.
And I mean,
and then what is the point of that?
And you know what? One of my favorite things is always around Heritage Day, where we're all going to taste each other's foods, dress up, you know, and literally just celebrate who we are. And I just, I wish that more companies and more schools would use that as an opportunity to have kids, make kids talk about cultures that are not theirs. Make them go and do homework about cultures and religions that are not their own. Let them prepare a dish that is not from their culture. And then come and talk about the experience. You know what I mean? Because I think then on top of just hearing somebody else as received information, if you immerse yourself in it, then you start to get something about the other person. You know what I mean? The conversations we need to have, I don't know, man.
You know what? We were talking about this just earlier this morning on The Breakfast Show. Mm-hmm. And it's the notion of if the purpose is for you to expand your knowledge and to learn, then that's what it needs to be about. You know, it can't just be about you hanging out with the same people every day, doing the same activities every day, exposing yourself to the same to the same experiences, because then you're not adding anything extra to your existence. You're not opening yourself up to new learning opportunities. You're not putting yourself in a position where you might actually be pulled out of your ignorance because you refuse to open up to things that may seem foreign to you.
Hey, and you get to taste life.
And you get to taste life.
You really get to taste life. If there's one thing I've taken away from being in a world now where I'm surrounded at any point by someone from a different culture, religion, man, South Africa has such potential, and we are so in each other's space. That's one thing I love. We don't live like on the lines, you know, on the sidelines of this is where you find the Indians, this is where you find the colors, this is where you find the different kinds of blacks, and then you must still divide the blacks into the different kinds of blacks.
And that's a job thing.
Sure. Instead, what you're finding is we really, there are very blurred lines, even in our language now. You know, you're starting to get blurred lines of isms from everybody. And I just feel like that's the stuff we need to be celebrating in December, man. Like, at some point, I was like, yeah, maybe I should even try and see where is there a place where they're playing some nice Lang Arm music there. Let's go check that out. Have that kind of
quirky experience.
Have
an entirely different
experience. Yeah, let's not doof doof the whole time. You know? There's my son. He's going to Drakensberg choir things. And I'm thinking, that's not my thing. But you know what? My son loves it. Let me go and experience it. It might change something about me, you know, some perceptions I have around.
Look, I didn't realize, Hore, we were going to. We were gonna go to church today.
But, and we went to church.
But we did, because we did.
No, because we can be deep, Mabel, and we're allowed.
Yeah. Because we are a multi-talented and multi-skilled individual.
We're not just pretty faces.
No, this is true. So I'm glad, you know, and I think that it's especially needed now that we are getting ready to wrap things up. Do we want to hug any men today, or is it enough that we have hugged South Africa?
No, I was gonna say that's who we are hugging. We are hugging South Africa. We are hugging her masculinity. She has her masculinity herself, so we'll hug her inner man.
Okay, no, then that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Yeah, that was beautiful. I enjoyed this conversation.
I love it every time we get together, you and I. And thank you to you as always for listening. And be sure to get this and all our other podcasts. You know, there is that option to you.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Catch up.
And we'll be back with you next week. Thank you very much. Sipping Tea, I'm Mabale Moloi.
I'm Tumi Morake. CliffCentral.com.